Will you turn with me once again, please, in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1. And with God's Word open before us, we will seek the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, come, speak to us now. We've gathered here to this end, not simply to meet with one another, not simply to pass an hour, but to meet with God. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that we may be drawn into thy presence now, that we may hear thy speaking voice, that we may bow humbly before thee and know the salvation of God. Better still, to know the Savior provided for our salvation. For we know that whosoever hath the Son hath life. Bless thy word to us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, verse 21 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, you read these words, the words of an angel to Joseph. And she that is Mary, his espoused, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We have a hymn in our hymn book. It's one of my favourites, and we've sang it a number of times. Hymn number 63. A hymn that seeks to exalt the name that is above every other name. And we often sing, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. This afternoon I intend to preach upon that subject of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Names don't often mean very much in our days. Parents pick names out for their children for a variety of reasons. Some are named after family members. I'm named after my grandfather. Some are chosen to honour a hero, some celebrity perhaps they're named after. Some people choose names just to be different. And I was reading, about a few weeks ago, of a woman who was complaining that people were very mean and making fun of her daughter's name. Her name was Absid. Spelled A, B, C, D, E. And I thought, it's not everyone else's fault that they're laughing. It's yours for picking it. Absent. So, there's a new name for you. So people pick names for a variety of reasons. Most of the time, there's no special significance in choosing a name. Perhaps it's just one that they like the sound of. William Shakespeare, if I could paraphrase him, said that a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. And for us, names are simply ways of identifying people and telling them apart from one another. But sometimes names carry meanings with them. My own name, Ralph, means wolf or wise counsel. I don't know what my parents were thinking there. We looked at some other names. Pick the deacon's names, for instance, or our elders, Noel. Well, Noel means Christmas in French, and it was typically given to children that were born in and around the Christmas period, and I think you'll find that Noel has a birthday coming up very soon, so that seems to tie in fairly well. George is a Greek name. It's made up of two Greek words, geo, which means earth, you're not surprised at that, and ergon, that means work. And it means an earth worker, or perhaps a farmer. Mark means warlike, and can often be used in reference to a hammer or a defender. So all very noble names. But I suspect, perhaps with the
Noel being the exception, that they weren't chosen for their meanings, but chosen for the way that they sound, or chosen to honour a family member, or perhaps it just happened to be the name in vogue at that time, although I don't think Ralph was ever in vogue. But in Bible times, things were different. And we've spent many a sermon speaking about names and their meanings and using the illustration of what the name meant in order to draw parallels and examples from their lives, how people lived up or sometimes lived down to the name that they were given. We can think of some examples. We can think of Jacob, and his name means a trickster, literally one who catches the heel in order to trip up another person. And when you look at his early life, that's exactly what he did. He deceived his brother into selling his birthright for a bowl of stew. He deceived his father into giving him the blessing by disguising himself in his brother's coats and putting the skins and on his arms to make him appear to be hairy when he himself was a fairly hairless man, his father being blind, not recognizing the difference. He was a trickster, and he lived down to that being. He was exactly what they said he would be. Now, what's wonderful is that God, when he converted him, gave him a new name. He called him Israel, a prince with God. And that's, of course, what happens to us when we are born again of God's Spirit. He gives us a new name. We are now the children of God. We can think of David, whose name means beloved. And, of course, David is described in the Scriptures as a man after God's own heart. Abraham means a father of a multitude, a name given to him even when he had no sons. It was a promise that God was going to bless him and Sarah with a son, and through that blessed seed the Saviour of the world would be given. We can think of Moses, who as a babe was put into the basket and placed into the River Nile, only to be drawn out to safety and brought into the palace in Egypt. And Moses' name means drawn out, because you'd drawn him out of the water. So Bible names often come with a meaning and with importance. And so for a moment or two, we want to consider the name that was given in verse 21 to the child that would be born of Mary. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now you must ask the question, why? Why that name in particular? What's so special about that name? And what you'll find is that it is a description of what the Son of God who came into this world, what he had come to accomplish. You'll notice that the reason is given at the end of verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for or because he shall save his people from their sins. So the name that was given, we're told that there's something very special about this name. Mary wasn't allowed to pick the name. Joseph wasn't allowed to pick the name. Both of them were told by the angel who brought the news of the pregnancy to them that God had picked the name. And they must name the child Jesus. This is a name that we'll find as we go on through the New Testament that is exalted above every other name. And we're told in Philippians chapter 2 that such is the prestige and the preeminence of the name of Jesus, that at his name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So this is a name with great importance attached to it. It is a special name. And as the hymn writer said, there is a name we love to hear. The name of Jesus. Now, it's not a name that we hear very often today. Perhaps if you go across to places in South America, You may hear the name Jesus in some of its variations, Jesus, for instance. But at the time of the Savior's birth, the name of Jesus was actually a very popular name. It's actually the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. So if you know someone called Joshua, they've got the Hebrew version of the Greek name Jesus. So it was a popular name at these particular times, because Joshua, of course, was one of the great heroes of the Old Testament, and you would have found many of the parents of those days would have picked names with biblical references of noble heroes, and Joshua was one of the popular names of that time. I'm told that over the last 12 months, the names Oliver and Ava were the most popular names in Australia. Well, back in the day when our Saviour was born, Joshua or Jesus would have been a very common name. However, this was no ordinary baby. His birth was normal, but his conception was anything but normal. We're told in Luke chapter 1 that Mary conceived after the Holy Ghost came upon her. A miracle was wrought within her womb, and in accordance with the prophecy given to Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And of course that's important, because it tells us that the child that was born to her was no ordinary child. Wasn't just another boy born to another husband and wife. The one born that day was none other than the only begotten Son of God, placed within her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this name is going to declare the deity of the Son of God. This is the name by which the Savior of men will be known, will be recognized by the angels. This is the name that will bring fear into the heart of Satan and all the forces of hell. Never has a name endured the ages of time like the name of the Lord Jesus. It's still the name that brings comfort to those that are in despair. It brings salvation to those who call upon it. It's a hope for the hopeless. I suppose in many ways it's a name that's both loved and hated, because there are those that despise the name of the Lord Jesus. There are those that would curse his name rather than honor it. There are those that would blaspheme his name and use it as an oath or a swear word rather than the giving of honor to the Son of God. But the Bible tells us that there is no name above this name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven that is given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name by which we may be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And so I hope when you hear that name, that it's not used as part of an expletive or a swear word, but that you recognize that this is a name like no other. It's a name given to the Son of God who came to this world. It's a name that declares his intention for coming. We've said already that names carry meanings. Well, the name Jesus has a meaning. It means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. The name Jesus reveals that God has a desire to save his people. And so when our Savior came into this world, he came with a purpose. He has come to save his people from their sins. His name declares just exactly what it is that he has come to do. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to condemn the world. We're told in John chapter 3 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So this desire of God to save his people, this isn't something new. This has been the very heartbeat of God right from before the world was even formed. It was God's plan conceived in eternity past and carried out in time that would see fallen men brought back in salvation to God. He shall save his people from their sins. He shall keep them safe and sound. He shall rescue them from all danger and destruction. And how will he accomplish this? By laying down his own life. By giving his life a ransom for many. The reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world was that he might go all the way to Calvary and die upon a cross. Or as Paul puts it in Philippians 2, that being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. By his sacrifice, we who are guilty are set free. Literally, he died for us. Judgment can't exact the same punishment from two different people. If someone is going to pay the price for a particular crime, then the other person goes free. Justice can't demand payment twice. So when the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, our guilt was removed. Our debt was cancelled. We are set free. We are saved from our sins. So this name Jesus speaks of what Christ would accomplish for us. He would save his people from their sins. The shedding of his blood would mean the remission, the taking away of our sins. Now there's another name in this passage. You'll find it in verse 23. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. That's not a name we hear very often. But again, it's one that holds special significance for all of mankind. It's an important name, Emmanuel. What does it mean? It means God with us. It reminds us of our Savior's humanity. That this was not an ordinary birth, not just an ordinary child, the one who is lying asleep in Mary's arms. Is God in human flesh. The perfect God-man. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin. On that morning when Christ came into this world to dwell amongst mankind, we're told that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus left all of the splendor of heaven. He laid aside all of the glory that he had in the Father's presence and came to this world to be clothed not with glory but with flesh. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Jesus was born as a real baby, but he is God in human flesh. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was God that came to earth to live amongst men. The implications are staggering. The Creator of all things has now come as a helpless being dependent upon the creature. God with us. You know what also I think when I hear that expression, God with us? If God is with us, that means then that God is not against us. God has come in human flesh to bring us on to Himself. He is with us. He is for our part. And without Him we would be lost, still in our sins and without hope. But He is our Emmanuel, God with us. Now there's a few other names that are attributed to the Savior at His birth. We find reference in Luke chapter 2, for instance, in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel brought good tidings of great joy. A Savior had been born in Bethlehem. We've already said that that's what the name Jesus means. He is the Savior. Now the angel could have said that He has come as the righteous judge in order to condemn the guilty. But He has come rather as the Savior of the world, filled with compassion, coming to deliver us from our sins, seeking that which was lost. And when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He would accomplish what no one else ever could. He would be our Savior, the one who delivers us, the one who alone is worthy. Now what else do we see in that passage? Not only is He called the Savior, He's called the Christ. He's called the Christ. And again, this is a Greek word that refers back to a Hebrew word of the Old Testament. It's the same word that we find in the Old Testament as Messiah, the Anointed One, the one that they'd all been waiting for. He's the one that the prophets had preached about. He's the one that the law and the types and the shadows had all prefigured. When the Lord Jesus Christ had come, He has come as the Messiah, the one who will provide redemption, the one who will save His people, the one who will guide them back again to the Father. And as the Christ, He's the one who intercedes for us. He has direct access to the throne of God, and there He stands as our mediator, reconciling men unto God. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. For us to come before God without the Lord Jesus Christ, we come in fear and trembling. We come with no grounds of acceptance. Our guilty sins are before us, and we'll hear the words of condemnation, "Depart from me, ye wicked." But when we come through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know the cleansing that He has provided, the forgiveness of sins that it is His prerogative to give, when we come to the throne of grace, we are no longer seen as guilty and condemned sinners, but we are cleansed and righteous in the sight of God. We have a Christ, a Messiah, an intercessor who works on our behalf. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the intercessor, the Lord. The Lord. That's a title that speaks of His authority. He is the Lord, the Master, the Supreme One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now there has never been a time when the Savior was not Lord. His title and His attributes are His from all eternity. He hasn't become Lord, He is Lord. He stood as Lord in glory as He stood alongside the Father. He was Lord upon the earth, possessing complete authority over all things. We've seen His power and authority over the waves and the wind when He tells them to be at peace and be still. His power and authority over the devils when He casts them out. His power and authority over sickness when he healed all that came to him. He's seen his power and authority even over death when he rose triumphant from the grave. He is Lord even over hell and the grave. Some people think that the cross was the end. Of course it wasn't. The Savior laid down his life as a sacrifice to save us from our sin and guilt. But death had no hold upon him. He rose again from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of God. And now he's there at the Father's right hand. And as Paul puts in Colossians 1, that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. If you didn't recognize my name, you wouldn't have missed very much. But to miss the name of Jesus, that's a different story altogether. To not know the one who is the Savior, the one who is God in human flesh, the one who is the Christ, the intercessor, the Lord of all, a failure to know him will have eternal consequences. Do you know this Jesus? Do you believe in him? Are you trusting in him? Have you called upon him for the saving of your soul? Because the knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ will make an eternal difference. He that has the Son has life, the Scripture says. But he that has not the Son of God has not life. It's a precious name to those that believe. It is the most precious name. He's the one who's fairest of 10,000 to our souls. We love to hear the name of Jesus, we sing. Tell me, is the name of Jesus precious to you? Can you say of him that he is my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King? He's everything to me. Can you say that he is your Savior? As I've said already, there were many children born with that name at that time, but only one of them would become the Savior of the world. And after all of these years, this one name stands alone. He's still the only one that can save. He's still the only one that can keep. There is no other hope. There's nowhere else to turn. There's no one else can deliver. There is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His is the altogether precious name. Are you trusting in him? Can I encourage you this Christmas season, as people get excited once again and remember with fondness the birth of the baby in Bethlehem, don't leave him in the cradle. Pack him away with the rest of the decorations until this time next year again. Why not put him upon the throne of your heart and bow before him as the only one who can save and confess him to be Lord of all? And leave today rejoicing in the knowledge that it is well with your soul before God. Go home singing, there is a hymn I love to hear. I love to tell its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. May God bless his word to our hearts this afternoon. May we rejoice in him who is Savior of all.